certain a'mal, worships, prayers. Sometimes we call it Laylatul Qadr, or we say the nights of Qadr, we make it plural. Whereas Laylatul Qadr is actually singular, there's only one night that is Laylatul Qadr. The night of Qadr, which according to the Ahadith seems to be the night of the 23rd, if you do a bit of research, you'll probably, as many of the ulama have come to the conclusion, that the night of the 23rd is the actual Laylatul Qadr. So then the question is, what are the nights of the 19th and the 21st, other than the Shahada and the Imam receiving the blow on the night of the 19th? What are these two nights? The answer is, these nights are nights of preparation for Laylatul Qadr. If someone wants to really make the most of Laylatul Qadr, they have to begin on the night of the 19th. After 18 days, of fasting, worship, avoiding sins, we get close to the night of Qadr. On the night of the 19th, we begin special a'mal. There are special worships. What are some of the things that we have on this night? Because we know, we've all heard, and we need to hear it as a reminder. The importance of Laylatul Qadr is that all of the great things that could happen to us over the course of the next year, and all of the terrible things that can happen to us over the course of the next year, the worships that you and I are going to be able to do, whether or not we're going to make it for Hajj, whether or not we will have the physical ability, for example, to be starting the next month of Ramadan with the ability to fast. All of the worships, all of the spiritual rizq, these are spiritual sustenances. Usually, when we think of sustenance, we only think of material sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the material sustenance, the physical sustenance, the food and drink. We have non-material and spiritual sustenance that's a lot more important. You might have heard this hadith from myself here. I might have mentioned it over the last visits that I've had. But as a reminder, the Imams have quoted Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. And he has said that it strikes me, and I'm baffled, that people are worried constantly about their sustenance in this world, about how they're going to survive, shelter, income, earnings, so on and so forth, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed your sustenance in this world. It will come to you. It's already written. But when it comes to the hereafter, God has said, I will not give you anything unless you work for it. But people are negligent of that. They have no worries of the hereafter. This is very true about most of the believers. Let's leave the non-believers aside. Most of us that are part of the believers, our worry is not the hereafter. If anything, if there is even somewhat of a worry, it's secondary. It's not top priority. Which logically it shouldn't be like that. Why it is, we haven't woken up to that reality. That's basically it. The sustenance of the soul and the body for the following year is going to be decided upon on this night of Qadr. That's why it's extremely important. What are the things that we can do to try to make the best of this night? What are some of the instructions that we have? Obviously, there's a lot of dua. There's a lot of supplication. But brothers and sisters, it's important for us to, on this night, give a different touch or have a different feel in the dua. What do we mean by that? The understanding of dua has to change. The understanding of dua is reading the Arabic or at best reading the English translation. Okay. What I mean by at best is compared to the next, as I will mention. Reading the dua and the quantity of it, we'll be doing, they said, dua al-iftitah, and then maybe dua joshan kabir. Okay. In some places, they do dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, which is a very great dua. But reading these duas isn't the objective, brothers and sisters. These duas are to teach us what to ask. The important thing is paying attention that God is the one that will provide all of these things for us, and paying attention to what's most important for us to ask for. Have we ever pondered, not read the translation, pondered upon the meanings of dua al-iftitah? The dua that we read, it's supposed to be recited every night. Dua al-iftitah has a lot of very important meanings in it that we have to understand. And when we read it, we should really be wanting that. So the concept of dua on this night should be paying attention to our connection with Allah, such that we are the needy, we are the helpless, we are the ones that have nothing for ourselves, we are 100% in need of divine blessings and mercy in all dimensions of our life, and He is the one that has everything that can provide. We're going in that way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knocking on the door of His mercy and asking Him for things. That should be the feeling that we have. Two side notes about what can help us on this night. One, which is important, brothers and sisters, it's very important. If my heart is filled with hatred, filled with grudges against fellow believers, even if they have done something wrong, all right, don't expect that those du'as are going to be answered. It's very important to clear our hearts from that. Remove it. Whoever it is between you and God, if you feel somebody has violated your right, whether it's your spouse, your parents or your children, your uncle or aunt, your friend, other community members, anyone that is in your mind that is a mu'min, they might be a weak believer, they might be making many mistakes, they might not have good akhlaq, that's all true, but they're a believer. On this night, forgive them and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them from the bottom of your heart. Erase it. If you expect that God is going to, on this night, forgive us all of what we have done, this is the best thing we can do to receive the same from God. If you forgive everybody, God is going to forgive you. The Holy Prophet has said this. So this is first side point. Second side point, there's a very beautiful hadith of one of the companions of Imam Al-Kadhim, salamullah alayhi. He says, I saw another companion of the Imam in Arafat. I don't know if you've been to Arafat. It's a day of dua. Even if you're not in Arafat, Arafat is the day for dua. In fact, they say if you're not able to get what you need on the night of Qadr, the next occasion is Arafat. Okay. The day, the ninth of the Hajj. Especially in that land that is referred to as Arafat. He says, I saw this companion. He was standing, looking up in the sky, raising his hands, and he was praying and crying like I had never seen before. Tears constantly trickled down his cheeks and fell to the ground. And I just watched him and observed him. After he was done, I went to him and I said, SubhanAllah, I have never seen someone pray to God in that way. I wish I had something like it. The companion, you know what he said? He said, none of what I asked for was for me. None of what I asked for was for me. Everything that I asked for was for others. Why? Because I heard the Imam say, if somebody prays for somebody else, for another believer, the angels will make that dua for that believer who's making the dua and the request. This companion says, I'm not sure if my dua for myself would be accepted, but I'm sure if the angels pray for me, that will be accepted. Okay. This will give us more incentive, but God knows what the blessing of remembering other believers, community members here and believers outside of this local community, whether they're in Dallas, other centers, outside of Dallas, in this state, throughout the globe, remember everyone and make dua. This will mean that the hearts of believers are going to come together, and that will bring the blessings of Allah, special blessings of Allah, to all of us, inshallah. Tonight is also the night of sorrow, the night of grief. The night that in the house of Amirul Mu'mineen, the family of Amirul Mu'mineen, the sons and daughters of Amirul Mu'mineen are starting to see that tonight is a bit different than other nights. They say Amirul Mu'mineen tonight, when they brought the iftar, other than bread and salt, there was a container of milk. Amirul Mu'mineen said, I usually have one thing with bread. Remove one of them, either the salt or the milk. And I wish that you would take the milk. Amirul Mu'mineen had bread and salt on this night. In the middle of the night, he kept looking at the sky, according to accounts, and spoke to himself. And he said, tonight is the night. Tonight is the night. The children of the Imam are starting to feel that there's something going on and something is happening. Salamullah alayk ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Which one of us wants to be in the shrine, the beautiful shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Najaf, on this night to remember Amir al-Mu'mineen, the children of Amirul Mu'mineen, and what transpired on this night? Let's take our hearts to Najaf. Imagine yourself in that beautiful shrine, facing the beautiful dharih of Amirul Mu'mineen, that we ask him, inshallah, he gives us the tawfiq to visit soon, inshallah. As-salamu alayka ya. As-salamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'min. السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليك يا أول مظلوم السلام عليك يا أمين الله في في أرض روحي لك الفداء يا أمير المؤمنين. On this night, the children of Amir al-Mu'mineen are starting to notice there's something going on. Amir al-Mu'mineen looking at the sky and saying, tonight is the night. The companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hujr ibn Adi, was in the masjid that night. He started feeling things are not the same tonight in the masjid. He hears some calls and cries and whispers between certain individuals. As the time for Salatul Fajr approaches, it says Amir al-Mu'mineen wants to leave the house. There are birds and ducks around. It says they start making racket, saying Ali shouldn't go to the masjid. They tried to quiet down the birds. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, let them cry. Upon exiting the door, some of the accounts say even the door tried to keep Amir al-Mu'mineen from going to the masjid. The companion Hujr ibn Adi tried to make it to the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen to tell him there's something that is wrong in the masjid. There are people that are whispering things that are not normal. But the route he takes, Amir al-Mu'mineen takes the other route to the masjid. Hujr ibn Adi arrives home, sees Ali is not there. He runs to the masjid to maybe stop Ali. But the prayer has begun. Salamullahi alayk, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. The true worshipper, the true abd of Allah. All I can say, they say the imam was in sujood. The call was heard, la hukma illa lillah. Suddenly they heard a second call coming. Fuztu wa rabbil ka'ba. Your beloved Imam's beard is colored red with the blood of his head. Imam al-Mujtaba in the masjid tries to hold the head of his father, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Blood is trickling, brothers. Blood is gushing out. They realize they need to take Amir al-Mu'mineen home. They carry Amir al-Mu'mineen out of the masjid. Imagine your beloved Imam, the warrior of Khaybar and Khandaq, the warrior of Badr and Hunayn, cannot walk on his own. But they say as they approach the house, Amir al-Mu'mineen told his companions, I want you these last few steps, put me down, let me walk. They asked, why, Ya Ali? He said, I don't want Zainab to see me like this. We say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you didn't want Zainab to see you like this, where were you in Karbala? When your daughter Zainab ran, when she saw the horse of Abu Abdullah, calling out, wa Muhammada, wa Aliyah, arriving on Tallu Zainabiyyah. If you've been to Karbala, Tallu Zainabiyyah, look straight at the Qatlgah as they refer to it. She arrived there to see what Shamr Jal Zulala Sadr. صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون مات